You're listening to episode 309 of the Mindfulness-Based Weight Loss Podcast with me, Lucia Holly. Welcome to the Mindfulness-Based Weight Loss Podcast, the show for women like you who have tried restrictive diet after diet and are ready for simple, thoughtful solutions to help you sustainably lose weight for the last time from a place of abundance and peace. If you're looking to end the yo-yo of comfort eating and rigid weight loss protocols and instead step into living your life mindfully on your terms while losing weight in the process, you're in the right place. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, my fine, lovely, beautiful, pretty people? You know, today when I said pretty people, I just imagined us all as like little smiling, almost like kawaii. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly, but like little kawaii popcorn. And we're all little popcorn buddies hanging out in our popcorn tub together. Wouldn't that be a nice party? I want to be there. Would you be there with me? Would we be there as friends? I hope to see you there. Today's episode, I wanted to talk about the idea of falling off the wagon. Of course, you know what I mean. If you have stumbled onto this podcast, you know exactly what I mean when I say the word wagon. That there is a wagon to be on. That you may or may not feel like you are on the wagon right now. And if you were to describe what it means to be on the wagon, well, I'll tell you what I thought being on the wagon meant. Being on the wagon meant eating very well at the vast majority of my meals and eating well for a long time. Like historically, when I was first starting to lose weight, it was not eating starchy carbs. And, you know, in retrospect, what happened when I did that, because that, like, having a low carb focus is how I first started to lose weight, because I had no knowledge of nutrition, you guys. I was so young. I was 14. It was in the height of Atkins. What I was doing unintentionally is that I was upping my protein. Protein is hella satisfying. I was upping my non-starchy vegetables. Vegetables are highly satisfying. And I was eating larger portions of those more frequently, meal to meal. Now that's kind of an aside because we're not here to talk about specific foods, but just as an example, sometimes when we're doing something intentionally, like lowering our carbohydrate intake, which for me at that point, I was incredibly sedentary as a 14-year-old. I was a kid. I was programming websites for fun, okay? I was typing HTML for hours a day. Making my own websites, buying domains. I was sedentary. I did not like moving around. I did not identify as an athlete. That came later in my life. I do identify in an athletic sense now. I didn't then. Not at all. And so my level of carbohydrates probably was quite out of balance because it was a huge portion of my dietary intake were more processed carbohydrates, which for me were not satisfying because I just didn't need all that quick energy. And of course, it increased the amount of total daily calories that I was getting very consistently. So not just a day here or there, but consistently over time, I was eating beyond the amount of total food that I needed. And the foods that I was eating were not satisfying because they did not have fiber. And I was unintentionally crowding out protein sources and colorful vegetable sources. Now that we're going to come back from that aside, but I think it's a really common one, which is why I describe it in detail. If you had asked me back then what falling off the wagon was or wasn't, it was if I was eating starchy carbs or not. And then let's, you know, fast forward to, how about when I was paleo? And I think unlike a lot of folks out there, I freaking loved being paleo. Why? Because unintentionally, I was prioritizing protein again. I was prioritizing plenty of colorful vegetables. I was eating the colors of the rainbow. I was getting some starches. They were coming in more of a balance than when I was on Atkins. But the carbohydrates that I was trying to prioritize were ones that were fiber rich. They were water rich. They were less processed. So naturally, they were things like sweet potatoes or fresh fruit, frozen fruit, starchier vegetables like carrots and butternut squash, etc. So I was eating intentionally in a way where I was focused on what was being excluded by that basic dietary pattern. But by proxy of that, I was including, whether I knew it or not, an abundance of foods that were really satisfying, okay? So here's the thing with being on or off Wegans. Number one, often there is a reason why a certain dietary pattern for one way or another felt good for us. I loved paleo. I didn't do it because it was a fad. It got fad-like, probably because it did help a lot of us feel better, and then a lot of us didn't learn about how to take the information that we learned about ourselves and the commonalities of different dietary patterns that we've tried over time. We didn't learn to actually look at the commonalities. We looked at all the differences, and we thought that the moneymaker for our weight loss or our health gain was in what was being excluded versus what I think most of us, hopefully you hear from this podcast as well, is that the most powerful changes are probably going to be the most common, repeated practices of different dietary patterns in general, emphasizing dietary protein in general, emphasizing balanced meals and snacks in general, having foods that keep you full. So foods that have that protein, the fiber, that are water rich, all of that. But I want you to be thinking about the Wegans that you have been on before. Take a minute, pause the podcast, write down two or three of the diets you've done before. And instead of focusing on why they were restrictive, why you fell off of them, why you couldn't keep up with them, I want you to focus on what were the positives of them. How did they benefit you? You know, I used to run these group nutrition programs in person when I was living in Minneapolis before I moved to Portland. And I also ran them online quite a bit too. But there's something special to being in person because we're all humans, okay? So the in-person ones, I just felt like there was that much more conversation that we could have in such a short amount of time. And I feel like after running round after round, some of the most beautiful takeaways for folks were when they would naturally come to the idea as the group nutrition classes, the classes had a challenge in them. They had a 3-week challenge in them. And basically kind of like paleo plus, you could call it primal if you know it. Like, you know, we were just generally focused on unprocessed foods. And we'd have a week leading up to the challenge that we were in the group, and then a week after the challenge to kind of debrief and talk about steps moving forward. So we had a lot of time to process and to prepare and then to just talk. And I think some of the folks that had really cool takeaways, there was a theme to what they would share as they were done with the challenge. And it was that they were seeing that the power in the food was in the addition of the food, not so much the subtraction of the food. So naturally, of course, a more unprocessed style and pattern of eating is naturally going to emphasize everything I've been talking about for the last 8 minutes. More protein, more fiber, more unprocessed dietary fats, more colors of the rainbow, and more meals throughout the day, more intentional eating, basically. And again, by proxy, that means that there was a reduction in more processed sources of foods, and there's nothing wrong with those. But for most people, when we're unaware of what we're eating, there can be an imbalance in the total amount of food that we're eating for our activity levels. A lot of us, just like me, for so many years of my life, I had absolutely no idea how sedentary I was. It wasn't until I became more active that I actually started to crave that activity. And I have a story for that too. But part of what we talk about with the challenges was that the challenges were never to be done for forever. They were called a challenge for a reason. Sometimes I would have clients. It wasn't in every session or round, but here and there I would have clients that would ask me, Lucia, do you eat this way all the time? And I would say, no, I like to emphasize these foods. There's a reason we emphasize them. They're incredibly nutrient dense. They're easy sources of phytonutrients. They're going to make your body, you're going to poop better. They're going to help us have more even energy throughout the day when we're being intentional with our mealtime patterns. But the point of having guide rails around a style of eating, especially if you're newer to nutrition, is that it helps bring your focus in my opinion. And from there, we can carry forward what we like and leave behind what we don't like. And this is my circuitous way of getting to ye olde wagon. Because I think a lot of us put some sort of power onto this frickin' wagon that it was never supposed to carry anyway. When you feel like you fall off the wagon, where's your attention? It's negatively aimed towards you, and you're thinking about all the things that you coulda, shoulda, woulda been doing. And then also, when you think about being on the wagon, you're still thinking about yourself a lot. And I still think there can be a lot of negative thinking while you're feeling that you're on the wagon, because you're making there out to be some sort of dichotomy around who you're being now, who you were in the past, and who you're going to be in the future. And that's hella confusing for the human brain, okay? That doesn't have anything to do with nutrition when we make all these buckets for how we conceptualize ourselves. Is it really all that useful? Like, I think having a positive attitude, I think if you want to do, I think affirmations can fall flat for a lot of people, but I actually did an episode on that a long time ago. But in general, if you want to be practicing moving from a negative mindset to a positive mindset, yeah, having a focus on mindset is great. But hopefully, as you've listened to this show, especially over the last year or so, hopefully you've picked up on the idea that the tighter and tighter you hold on to a certain thought, the less helpful that thought ever is. And so to me, the idea of there being a wagon to be on or off of, especially around nutrition, where, by the way, most foods fit. By the way, there are plenty of dietary patterns that work for plenty of people. It's just having honesty and openness about where am I with my health today? Would I like to go from maybe functional or subfunctional to more optimal? Is that the direction I want to go? And then fill in where some of those healthy habits might be a little bit shaky. Those basics of nutrition don't have a lot to do with thoughts and thinking. There's not much that you have to do, or I had to do, when we're thinking about how are we creating shifts and changes. I'll tell you, through this pregnancy, anytime I've taken my thoughts personally, like in the beginning when I was so, so tired, right? I went from easily walking 10,000 steps a day, like joyfully, happily, craving it, enjoying it, to maybe getting 2,000 on a good day because I was so freaking tired, right? The first place my brain went, because there was a change that I didn't choose, was to be like, oh no, what if that doesn't come back? What if I never have energy again? What a drama queen, first off. But secondly, that's me holding on to my thinking and making things personal. Oh, I'm the person who walks 10,000 steps a day easily. Where did that go? I didn't choose for it to go. That was only uncomfortable when I was choosing to hold on to those thoughts tightly. And then when I loosened up and I didn't try to fix my thinking, I just recognized I was in a lower mood and I went and, God, probably slept because I was having a tough time with my energy levels because I was in my first trimester. Once I spent some time away from those thoughts and pet my dog and hung out with Tim or saw my family, you know, did things that I could do in those moments. And that thinking, guess what it did? It moved along. And when our thoughts move along, time moves along. And for me, my not so clutching on to that thinking self, like my actual self, kind of knew in the back of my head, listen, girl, you're in your first trimester. This is extremely typical. Give yourself a couple frickin' weeks and you're going to be back to stepping. You're going to be back to enjoying your walks. And I'll tell you, even as I'm in my third trimester, so still pregnant, I got more body that I'm moving around now than I was in the fall. But the very typical, oh, your energy comes back, was true for me. And even if it hadn't been, I would have crossed that bridge and I probably would have had the wisdom to know what to do in that moment. But I use that example because there was some all or nothing thinking that my brain naturally dipped into when it felt uncomfortable because it was going through a change. And I think that happens so often when we try to conceptualize ourselves or we better ourselves and we fall into that dichotomy of, well, am I doing the thing or am I not doing the thing? And I just want to say that is such a distracting thought. And I'm always trying to decide how to share this on the podcast where it's like, we got to love those thoughts for what they are because they're not bad. They're not evil. Like, you're not going to get rid of a thought by trying to think about how you're going to get rid of it. Like, their brains don't work like that. So we got to love the thoughts, but we also just like love them and leave them. You know, all the thoughts that we think are like pebbles on a path. And if we try to collect or hold on to or remember every single pebble that's going to be on that path, is that an enjoyable journey or is that even what the journey is about? No, not really. If we get so mad that there wasn't a blue pebble and there was this kind of green one time and the red one is the one that like we kind of tripped on. And then we keep thinking about that and we think about that red pebble every time we walk that path and then we're thinking about the red pebble instead of the path and then eventually we don't walk the path because of that red pebble. Like, to me, those are the thoughts. The thoughts are distractions, but they're innocent. Pebbles are going to be on a path. They're going to be there. The more we just let them be there without having to mind them too much and with also recognizing, well, yeah, I might notice the blue one. I might remember that red one here and there. Nothing's gone wrong. I think that's the ultimate power move when it comes to our health and wellness behaviors. That is what helps us remember, you know what? I'm not better or worse if I eat this way or if I eat that way. But if I'm not feeling so hot after some older habits come back during a period of stress or just during a time where I realized I wasn't so intentional with my eating, probably nothing's gone wrong. I've probably been kind of stressed. Let me give myself some time away from my thinking. And probably I have some habits that I already know I can come back to that are going to support me. Because I just want you to remember, today, you have so much wisdom. And that wisdom will seem very far away when we're trying to latch onto and focus on our thoughts. When we're trying to decide whether there's a wagon that we're on or off. Whether that's safe or not, whether we should eat low carb or vegan, whether this protein powder is better than that protein powder, whether we're scared of conventional produce or we're ready to, you know, stop buying organic so much, whatever the thoughts and thinks are, the calories, the macros, there's factual information and then there's how we take information in emotionally. So, love letter to you. About the wagons, ye old wagons, there's nothing wrong with them. If your brain likes to jump on the idea of whether you're on or off a wagon, let it. Let it. Let it be a pebble on your path. Nothing's gone wrong. You aren't more or less anti-diet. You aren't more or less feminist. You aren't more or less of who you are. You're just a human having some thoughts. And the more we let our thoughts be thoughts, the more they're going to pass. And probably the sooner you might start to see an insight or two that strikes your curiosity when you're in a mood that isn't quite the low stress mood that all those thoughts are coming in. So, thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you on next week's episode. Bye.
Hey, if you love today's show, I'd love for you to take a minute and give a rating with a review. If you too are ready for more women to make life choices from loving mindfulness, that means we need more women listening to this message so they know what's available to them and they can do it too. And if you're ready yourself, come coach with me, where we'll work together and you'll learn how to take this process to the next level in your wellness goals, life desires, and beyond. Go to luciahawley.com, that's LuciaHawley.com to connect.